everybody, and welcome to another episode of Artificial Talk. I'm your host, Tristan, and today with me I have my co-host,
Robert. Hey, guys.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on the podcast together. And I'll tell you right now, we got a lot of fun topics. We've got a lot of topics. Robert, you want to take it away? What's our first topic?
Well, to start it off big, Roblox is trying to go public.
I mean, it's a tech company. I don't hear anybody saying it's not.
So recently, this happened like late this week. It's filing for an IPO or initial public offering. So it's trying to go into basically what that means is trying to go into the public so people can buy shares of the company. They're looking at 1 billion, I believe, in shares. So,
I mean,
this is crazy.
So if you want to own a piece of Roblox, actually, let's start. If you don't know what Roblox is, it's a video game, mostly for kids. I don't know that many older Roblox players, if I'm gonna be honest. But it's kind of been interesting making a huge comeback recently. Like, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like it's like Fortnite, where it's making this huge comeback. All of a sudden, people are loving it. People are all in it. You've got a lot of money flowing through it right now. Like, it's crazy. Like,
yeah. It's absolutely insane. Because I don't know if you played it. So, like, this is like one of the childhood games. If you grew up, like, in the 2010 Flash game era. Like, this was, like, one of the games, like, with, like, Club Penguin. I mean, I remember all the way back then, like, when it came out. I remember playing it in elementary school a little bit, and, like, playing it on there. And, like, you know, I thought it would just die with all these other childhood games. But somehow it, like, moved on from, like, our generation or, like, these, you know, our, like, years to the next generation of, like, new kids. And just completely, like, almost like a renaissance or, like, resurgence of the game. Like, it's, like, no longer the game that, like, I remember growing up with. And it's just crazy.
It's so weird because Roblox for a while, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Roblox for a while kind of died off. Like, it wasn't a big game for a while. But it sort of reminds me of Minecraft, actually, because I grew up a lot more with Minecraft. That game's also been around a while, but Roblox is free. You go online, it's one of those free-to-play games, and you can buy things in-game, but there's no initial charge. So especially as a kid, if you've got no money, you know, you got maybe your allowance that you're spending on other things, you can still play Roblox without actually having to pay anything. Whereas Minecraft was I'm gonna say it's basically the paid version of Roblox. I know they're very different games, don't get mad at me, but it's interesting to see both these games sort of make a resurgence. I mean, and maybe it's the pandemic. People are inside finding things to do. Roblox is a way to communicate with, you know, their friends and their family, maybe, that they don't get to see right now. Roblox is making a comeback. Same with Minecraft, actually. All these games are making comebacks, which is so weird, especially since we both grew up with these games and watched them almost, I don't want to say die. I don't think they ever died, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a weird, well, more like with Minecraft. I was talking with someone else, just like Minecraft is like the something that, like, you forget about it, you move on, and then somehow it comes back, and then you just play for hours, and then you forget about it again. Like, it's a continuous loop with Minecraft. But I don't feel the same for Roblox. It just kind of like stayed in that childhood era and it just kind of died for me. My brother's been playing it, and it's been growing a huge player base, and a lot of money through their in-game currency, Robux. Better time to invest in real life Robux with their new stocks.
Oh, I mean, gosh. I will say it is quite interesting. This is one of the few game companies that still is not under the banner of like a larger company. Like, we talked about last, or I think it was 2 weeks ago, how Bethesda got bought out by Microsoft. It's weird to think this is one of the last game companies that isn't owned by just one of the big game companies. It's its own company. It does its own thing. And it's interesting that it's actually going public IPO among with a bunch of other sort of, I'm going to call them unicorn companies. Like, you've got your DoorDash, you've got Airbnb that are all going public this year. It's crazy to see it sort of joining with the ranks of one of those like startup crazy companies. Whoever thought?
this year is ceasing to, like, it just at 1 week after the next, it just depresses me more and more. Like, I just don't know what to expect anymore from this year. 2020 is definitely going down in the history books.
Yeah, the year that Roblox went public. So you can own a piece of Roblox now. Oh, actually, I don't know if it's public yet.
Not yet.
Filed.
Not yet.
Yeah, they filed.
It's in the works. Yeah, they filed it.
So look for that, and you can maybe own a piece of Roblox and be a part of the dream that is, you know what? I'm going to say it. It's symbolic. You can be a part of the independent gaming company world.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't know any other really like child game company. This is just the weirdest thing. I don't know if I know any other game company that's went public before. I know.
I think
like that's just game development, like not associated with like Microsoft with products or like other stuff. Like they just make a game. They don't do anything else. They're just game devs that went public. I don't know if I ever seen a game development company go public, but they're also, you know, it's so weird because they're looking into like a multiverse. So it's kind of like how Facebook Gaming is and stuff, and then like including some other stuff and making their own marketplace or whatnot. So, but then even at the same time, Epic Games not public. You know, it's just like out of all the companies, I would never expect Roblox to do this.
Yeah, in terms of just game developers that have gone public, because I was going to say, like, you know, maybe like Bethesda is like a publisher, though, and they're not just game development anymore. Yeah, that's tough. I don't think there's another game company that's quite like this, actually. For all the hate that Roblox gets, it's kind of brilliant. This company brings in a lot of money every year just making this game and continually expanding it and building on what they like started with. Like, as you said, your brother plays it. My little sister plays it too. Like, we both, our younger siblings are playing it. We look at it, we're like, what is the point of this game? And they're over here. They're having a lot of fun with it.
Hours. Right. But then I think again, it's like, damn, I didn't play Roblox that much. But like, I definitely remember games I played hours and hours upon. The other older generation of us should be like, oh, what game is this? like playing Club Penguin or whatnot. But like, it's so weird. It just like seeing like someone that you thought like died back then. Like everything else is dead that I could think of. But, well, besides like Minecraft, but like around like the 2010 era, like this is the only one that I'm just like, oh, this is just, I don't. they know the youth. They know their audience. Definitely.
You're bringing back a lot of nostalgia right now. Honestly, all right. So Roblox is crazy. Roblox is crazy.
Yeah.
Robert, do you know what else is crazy, though? Can I tell you what else is crazy?
Hmm. What?
Sending some astronauts to the International Space Station on a Falcon 9 rocket that has taken a decade to build.
That is something crazy. Man, that gives me so much nostalgia for the 70s. Nah.
So, maybe for the uninitiated, Robert and I have actually been on the podcast before talking about SpaceX and the Falcon 9 when they did the Dragon Crew test launch. This is huge. I'm just going to say that off the bat.
That was like back in June, right? It's about 4 months ago, 5 months ago?
Yeah. That sounds like a long time, but consider the fact that this has been in the making for, what, over a decade now, 11 years, something along those lines. It's amazing. Like, okay, so for context, if you haven't maybe seen it, this is the first time SpaceX is launching astronauts on an operational mission to actually dock with the International Space Station and be on the space station for how many months did they say? Is it 3 months or 6 months?
Somewhere around there. I don't remember the exact time frame, but they're doing a science mission. So the DM2, or it was demo mission 2, was, so there was DM1, I believe, and then DM2 was when they first put astronauts actually on the rocket. And, you know, this was like revolutionary. This is like, you know, the defining moment in terms of private space flight, in terms of America relaunching into the space program. Something huge. And so that was a huge milestone for SpaceX and just like rockets and the human exploration of space. And so from that, now we're in the period now where they're gonna, you know, it worked really well, was really successful, and now they're starting to do missions. So this is the very first mission, and it went all well, and we got 4 astronauts up there. And yeah, it's crazy because, you know, it shows compared to, so if you look like old NASA, like in the past, so there was like the main complaint of NASA space flight in the past was how quickly it took to get astronauts up there, how much it costed, if cost was a huge factor, how long it took, and the fact that it's been like 5 months and they already have another rocket up there, that's a really high turnaround, and that's a very positive outlook for the future of this spaceflight. So that just shows you SpaceX power.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, honestly, like I actually tuned in for the live launch. I don't know if you tuned in at the same time, but just watching this launch happen, because like, what they do is SpaceX is kind of smart. They stream the whole thing, like beginning to end, like where the astronauts start, like driving down the road to the rocket. They do the whole sort of drive up
in their Teslas.
It's so cool. They do the whole load up. They show you everything as it's happening. They break it down, and then they get to the final like 30 seconds, and they start doing the countdown. And you're kind of, you get so jittery and excited. All of a sudden, here's you're watching. Honestly, you're watching history in the making. It's so cool. And then you see the final 10 seconds, and then it launches off, and SpaceX puts cameras on the actual rocket so you can see the exterior of the rocket as it's launching, and then a camera in the cockpit as well to see the astronauts as they're, you know, managing all the systems. And then eventually you see the little zero-G toy float around, which was a baby Yoda. So anyone who's a fan of The Mandalorian,
oh, yeah.
I'd go watch.
Over meme culture people.
But it was awesome to see. I honestly, maybe one of the coolest things that we're gonna see. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I definitely been noticing, because like, you know, I kind of been not that much into tech recently, and then I jumped back into it. I definitely see it kind of feels like we're finally starting the era. Like we're in the new era of like tech advancement. There's like a lot of just like autonomous cars. A lot with, I was seeing some like hyperloops or like fast train travel or something. There's like a lot of tech. I also like know something I just like heard, like Uber was also looking at autonomous driving cars, some other companies. But it's just like we're definitely in the era, and like again, you know, space is at the forefront of it. And this is just really sick. And yeah, so we'll definitely need to see like where they're going to go with this. I know that they plan, I think 2021, if that's still up there, is when they're going to do, they're going to launch one artist, one filmmaker, one book writer, but like basically one person from each of those mediums up to like orbit around the moon or around the Earth. And then they're supposed to come back down and then write like a movie, a book or something to like get people inspired about space again. So there's also the guy that won the contest or whatever that needs to be thrown up there.
it's awesome. Everything that is happening right now, like I know a lot of people right now, they feel, especially with the pandemic and all that, you feel that things aren't moving forward, but I would say just look around. I mean, everything that is happening around us, even something as small, well, I say as small, even companies launching their, you know, new phones and all their new chips and all that, that's all big jumps and leaps, and you just need to kind of look into it and really see what's going on under the surface there, because there's a lot happening in the tech world, and it's amazing to see what we're going to get out of it, honestly. So,
yeah. I almost feel like it's almost like this whole entire, like, stay at home and stuff. It seems like tech is just advancing quicker than it was, like, the last decade. Or maybe we're just, you know, that's just the result of the double, you know, every, you know, that Moore's Law, whatever. Like, we double every year or every 10 years or whatever it was. So, I don't know. I just feel like we're going, like, way faster than last decade. So, oh, man.
I mean, you know, it's funny. We talked on the last few podcasts. We've been talking about, Intel sort of falling behind the curve and AMD coming back and rising back up and a lot of people don't think AMD's been at the top before. AMD was at the top for a very long time. They were actually crushing Intel for a little bit, and then Intel came back, and for the last, how long has it been? Decade, maybe longer, has been king of chips. And now we're seeing competition flood that market again. And even against NVIDIA, we kind of touched on Big Navi last week. We didn't really get to go into it, but those new GPUs AMD's releasing, they're crazy powerful for the generational leap they had to make to match NVIDIA.
Yeah, the amount of silicon that's going out this year alone, it's like, there's, you know, Nvidia's making something with their new cards. You have AMD making their new processors. AMD's making their new cards. You know, and then who knows what Nvidia's doing with ARM, because they bought ARM. So they're probably making some new cards as well on top of that. PS5 came out with new cards. Xbox has their new silicon. Apple has their new silicon. Amazon's looking to the new silicon. Like, it's kind of like, we were talking about this earlier, it's kind of like how you said, where it's like, in the past, like with the old computers, all these companies were making their own silicon, and then somehow in, like, I guess the 2000s, somewhere around there, when stuff, they started to make, I think what it was is they were starting to make standards, you know? They're trying to standardize, that's why we're trying to make standard USB cables, display cables, all that stuff. So I was thinking maybe Intel came in and was like, okay, let's make a standard CPU for everyone, or whatever, instead of, you know, everyone making their own. And, you know, it was very hard back then, from what I know. You had, you know, you could have the same computer, and even, like, a different model of the same company's computer, and they couldn't, you know, their file system was the complete opposite of the other one, and you couldn't share files. Like, it was that bad back then. And I think, like, coming into some of these companies like Intel, trying to make some standard chips to use. And so that's kind of where we're at. But now everyone's just making their own thing again. So we're going back to where it was, and everyone's just making their own thing. And it's a crazy time to live in. And then we got the pandemic, and, like, you know, everyone's at home working, so there's, like, less silicon to even be made.
You're absolutely right. It's insane. I mean, for context, like, there was a point, if anybody remembers Apple in the PowerPC days, like, every company had their own chip, and everyone was making their own thing, and they were all doing their own thing. We're sort of going back to that now. I mean, as Robert said, all these companies are making their own chips, and we the topic we specifically had was Amazon is also going to begin using its own chips rather than NVIDIA chips for Alexa's cloud AI. So, and what they're saying is, all of a sudden, you're going to be able to say, I'm not going to say her name, obviously, like, hey, Alexa, because I don't want to...
Oh, man. What?
I don't want to trigger the assistant, but this is supposed to make her much faster, and it's supposed to make her sound more natural, and you're supposed to be able... They want you to talk to her like a normal human, which is weird to think about, too, that you can talk to your assistant, like, your AI assistant, your robot assistant, the little, you know, puck in your room, like a normal person. That's a little weird, too. We're getting to that point. I mean, we really haven't approached AI on the tech show, and that's mostly because, for the most part, I think we all agree that AI isn't quite there yet. It's getting there.
Yeah, they definitely say that last decade in terms of technology was the decade of, I believe, cloud computing. So Google Drives, OneDrive, all these drive services, all this cloud stuff. That was all last decade. This decade, they say, it's going to be the decade of AI. So you can really see it start to come up with NVIDIA voice, you know, RTX voice, RTX image, you know, autonomous driving cars coming out of the blue now. Alexa, you know, do you need a GPU for a voice person? It'd like to do all the voice recognition, processing, huge amount of processing data. We're definitely going to see it. We're at the beginning. Of it becoming, you know, that's this kind of decade. Even some chipsets, like NVIDIA making basically what they call a neural network chips for, like, their own, like, to support these autonomous AI kind of things. And then, you know, there's quantum computing, but, like, well, we'll see what happens.
I was going to say, it's weird to think. The idea of quantum computing partially is the fact that it can be random rather than logical, like current chips work. It's crazy to think at some point, if they can get a quantum chip to run an AI, that the AI could theoretically respond to anything you say because it can take randomness into account. Instead of having to hear specific key words to actually understand what you're saying, it can all of a sudden be like, oh, I understand what you're saying, even though I have no key words to go off of. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Dude, study your body language. Read your mind. Oh my gosh.
I think you're describing Facebook with the Oculus.
Oh my gosh, I guess Quest. Which, you know, got jailbroken, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. Basically, some people started to learn how to jailbreak it already. Oh, they put out, like, an ad to, like, jailbreak it. And, like, a bounty. It was, like, a $5,000 bounty, and someone got in, like, a day or something.
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of the Facebook login because, you know... they kind of don't want Facebook to be able to scan their houses or their apartments or whatever.
At this point, our data is gone. I mean, this podcast could be uploaded. Who knows if there's like an algorithm that's ready, like analyzing the voice to do voice patterns. Who knows?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we like there is deepfake video. That's all everyone ever talked about. There is such thing as deepfake audio too, and you can completely change what somebody's saying by using some recordings of their voice, and then all of a sudden you're mixing their cadences in and all that into like something you want them to say, which is really weird. It's kind of creepy almost.
Oh my gosh. And to all those algorithms out there, I'm watching you.
But I don't know. It's really cool. It's honestly, for everything that you don't like about Facebook, I mean, Apple's whole thing was, oh, we're making the argument for privacy. The interesting part is with the whole privacy thing, though, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit. I think Louie and I touched on it last week. Apple is probably the one company that actually can collect the most data on you if they so choose to, and they just choose not to right now. I mean, unlike Google, for example, take Android. Android is so many different phone vendors. There's no way Google could optimize collection for every single phone. There's so many different phones, but Apple, from bottom to top, controls what goes in their devices. They make their own chips. And it's not crazy to think they could collect all that data if they really wanted to with the flip of a switch.
Even with their silicon now, it's all vertical now. Their whole entire thing, I don't even know what's not Apple. The last non-Apple thing in the MacBooks was the Intel chips, that I can recall.
Yeah, I think maybe the modem chips in the iPhone, but even then, I think they still vet those modem chips, and they're specifically, like, even like the 5G chips in the iPhone, like, having, the fact of the matter is, this is the first Apple event where the Verizon guy walked up on stage and was like, hey, 5G is finally here. I think that's the most carrier thing I've ever seen from Apple, is having the Verizon be on stage with them. That was such a weird moment during that whole event.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just... And then going back to graphics, it's also crazy to think that... I was very interested in... When I heard about the new NVIDIA 3000 series GPUs came out, like, because that was the first announcement. So, you know, in terms of, like, hardware, this current fall, Q4? Are we in Q4? Yeah. Q4, yeah. Like, you know, the first announcement here was, like, the PS4. You know, remember back then when the PS4 and the Xbox came out and they were, like, gloating, like, oh, man, our load times? And then PCs just, like, wait, just you wait. And then we got the 3000s, but it was so crazy because they worked with Samsung or whatever. And then it's like, you look at the improvements, you know, from GPUs to GPUs, like the 1080s to the 2080s, like, it was like I don't even know the exact percentage, but like under, it's like 20% increase, right, in power, or 30%, I don't know the exact value, so don't quote me. But you look at this, right, then from the 2080s to the 3080s, and it's like, over half or something like that. It was like something crazy that we haven't seen in like a decade. And it was just kind of me thinking, like, what, like, all of a sudden, just out of the blue, there's this huge increase. And in the past, we had such incrementals, and for like a cheap price, like, stuff's getting cheap, but then, you know, there's scalpers. And there was something really funny I found about that. Like, there was a comment that I saw. And with all this, you know, all this scalping and everything being out of order, like, pretty much every new thing out there right now is just out of stock. If you're looking at chipsets for anything. And it just, like, some guy said, imagine getting a piece of next-gen hardware this year.
That sounds terrible, but every launch that's happened this year, AMD, NVIDIA, even all the consoles, you can't find them anywhere. It's insane. And you know the worst part is, like, AMD, a lot of people are kind of ranting on NVIDIA. They're like, man, NVIDIA's launch was such a mess, and AMD did so much better. And I'm like, have you seen an AMD card anywhere? You can't find them anywhere. And the consoles, forget it. Like, I think I was listening to what was I listening to? I can't remember, but somebody was talking about, like, oh, Walmart is gonna have them in stock and on this day, and everyone's kind of just watching Walmart now for when they get their big shipment in to basically buy all the PS5s. It's insane.
Dude, they even had, Micro Center had a line, like a 3-day line or something, to get the new cards. or to get the 3070, 3080s or whatever it was. And just absolutely crazy that people just wait to spend, you know, this is not like, well, it's cheaper. These cards are cheaper than cards in the past, but like, it's still a chunk of money to even be sitting out there forever.
But you know, the funny part about that is these cards are actually the most expensive NVIDIA has ever been. Like, the starting card, the 3070, because we haven't seen anything from a 3060 yet, is $500. Now, granted, and I'll be entirely fair to NVIDIA, from the numbers we've seen, it's better than even something like a 2080 Ti, which the 2080 Ti, for perspective, cost $1,200 pre-launch of the 3070. And the 3070 costs $500. Like, in their performance numbers, like, the 3070 was a little better than the 2080 Ti. That's crazy. That's really crazy. I'm not going to discount that. But it's also expensive. Like, if you're building a gaming PC, all of a sudden buying a 3070 for $500 makes up, like, more than half of your system cost. Well, after you get a CPU and all that, too.
Yeah, that is true. But the RTX 2070, right? So one generation back was $100 more. So they reduced the price. In turn, if you look at it like just price point, it's been the lowest as well as the highest performance. It's
true.
It's
very true.
Yeah.
We're in that age now. We're in that age now where I actually am going to give AMD a lot of credit here. I think they're really making everyone else sweat a little bit, and everyone else has to kind of show what they have in the back that they've been waiting to release. I mean, what was the last time you saw Intel make such large jumps in performance ever, actually?
The Intel GPU. Whatever it was, I forget the name of it.
Like Tiger Lake, it's crazy. Rocket Lake, for example, from Intel, if what they're saying is true, is going to be a massive improvement for Intel CPUs. That's,
yeah,
it's.
If I remember correctly, they said the percentage of like Intel, you know, chips like the world has right now, it's like it's down to 60%. They're almost under half of the hardware now. Is like run on Intel stuff, and you know everything else is like everything else.
It's crazy. I mean, I'm excited. I'm honestly really excited to see what else we can get for the next few years, because I know that AMD is going to continue pushing out as much power as they can get in their chips. They're going to start refining their chips down to, you know, especially power, because in particular AMD isn't known for having the best power control. So we could start seeing refinement there. We could start seeing the GPUs finally begin to catch up to NVIDIA. I mean, they've already caught up, to be very clear, but now actually match and maybe surpass what even NVIDIA has. That'll be amazing to see. Well, and actually, I'm going to say something, because last podcast, actually maybe it's two podcasts ago, I talked about how I didn't really see AMD, you know, coming back with those GPUs. I don't know if anybody did, but I'll just say I was wrong. AMD came swinging.
Yeah, and AMD definitely went up to bat. I mean, every time that one girl, what's her name?
Dr. Elisa
Su. CEO. Yeah, whenever she comes on stage, it's just like, oh man, here we go.
she came swinging, and I gotta say, what she has done with the company, and not just her, the engineers under her and all those other people that have been under, they have killed it. For the past 5 years, and they finally, on the GPU side of things, finally caught up to the CPU side, and it's amazing what we're actually seeing from all these different companies now. Just,
yeah, there's definitely, with all the silicon, well, first of all, there's gonna be a huge amount of shortages, because instead of just one supplier now, just everywhere. But yeah, who knows, dude, the market's gonna be it's gonna be a new landscape, basically. Huge competition. So for us consumers, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, you want competition. I know a lot of you are gonna be like, well, no, I like this. It's like, but encourage the other side to do better so that your side does better too. You gotta balance it.
Yeah, I mean, Intel, you know, they're talking about like their 5-nanometer chips or whatever, but you know, we'll see what happens. So yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be really interesting. Now, I am going to talk about an area that really doesn't have much competition now. Smartphones. I mean, I say, you think there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of smartphones, let's be honest. There's basically Apple and Samsung in the world. And then I guess also Huawei. I'll throw Huawei in there too, but they're struggling right now, as you can probably tell. But on the Apple side of things, there has been one thing Apple has had over Google for generations, and that is messaging. Robert, can I ask you, you have an Android phone, right?
Yes.
How many different messaging apps do you have on your phone?
Guess
right now off the top of your head.
Seven
different messaging apps. And I used to be an Android user. I have an iPhone now, but even then, I still carried over, I think, 4 messaging apps from Android onto my phone here. It has been a mess. And Google, so we've talked a little bit about RCS before. Actually, I am your RCS person. I love RCS. It's amazing, and everyone should love it. And Google finally just kind of forced, we stopped talking about it for a little bit, but Google forced everyone, like, they just said, you know what, forget waiting for the carriers. If you use Google Messages, we're just going to enable RCS for you. So now RCS is for everyone's phone. As long as you have Google Messages, that's awesome. And now in the beta, we're starting to see end-to-end encryption getting tested in Google Messages.
There we go.
So I love the fact that this is now a thing. We can have end-to-end encryption in the Android side of things, not just the Apple side of things. Say what you will say about iMessage. It is far superior to SMS and MMS. So, I mean, Robert, do you use a lot of standard messaging on your phone, or is it more you just use those messaging apps?
You know what? I haven't actually used my phone number messaging in a while. Like, besides, it's just my, like, close relatives, really, that still, sends text. Like, you know, it used to be like, oh, yeah, who calls anyone anymore? But just now it's just kind of like, well, who texts anyone anymore? And those, like, right? It's just like, if I need to text someone, I normally just go to, like, if it's, like, business, it'll be, like, Slack, or it'll be, like, Discord, if it's, like, whatever. Like, or Google Messages, you know? Yeah, I mean, like, Snapchat. I mean, I still, like, yeah, I don't really... But this is really, I do use Google Messages. That's the one I do use for sending SMS. So there we go. I'm encrypted. Encryption's key.
We want encryption. Like, if you use an Android phone, you should really be pushing this. And I'm annoyed at the fact that Apple does not support RCS in the first place. That's just terrible. Because I don't get it. Like, iMessage is great, and it will, and I guarantee you, it will still continue to be better than RCS for the foreseeable future. Apple's just had so much longer to refine it. But, like, I don't understand why they don't support it. Everything should be RCS, is my point. And end-to-end encryption on RCS is amazing. I mean, like, for example, if a carrier has ever asked for any sort of data on their customers, the carriers basically go belly up and just give everything up without a second. Like, before you can even finish your sentence, the carriers just turn over. And I'm not saying just any random person, but, you know, like, for example, the government or anything like that. They just belly flop over. It's hilarious. And this will add some level of security to your text. And not just for against them, but also against other people. You don't want other people reading your texts. So I just thought it was an awesome thing to bring up. I don't really know if there's anything else you wanted to throw on this topic, Robert.
Encryption's key. We don't want China stealing our stuff.
So,
I don't know.
Yell about RCS and encryption. Bring it forward.
Woo!
But
bad boy.
Now, let's go on to the topic everyone actually cares about, though. Or maybe like the 5 developers that listen to the podcast, because everyone else is a consumer. So, Apple versus Epic. Y'all know what's happening there. They're fighting because Epic wants its own app store, basically. So Apple has decided to cut the App Store cut to 15% for any developer that's under $1 million. Now, this is big. This is honestly really big. For small developers, I should say. Epic was not happy about it. We'll get to that.
And Spotify. Yeah.
I mean, Epic wants all of it. Epic wants 100%. Maybe more.
That's why they made their own launcher.
You don't like the Epic launcher, right?
No, I mean, they give you free games. Ah, gosh. And then, that's... Because Amazon started their own launcher, too, now. And that's a whole... Game launchers are just pissing me off.
And to be entirely clear, I know a lot of podcasts, we sort of rant on Epic. It's, in truth be told, because Epic sort of tries to play the small guy game. And I know relative to a lot of these larger companies, they are small. But they're also... How many billions of dollars is Epic worth? Like...
Oh, at this point,
yeah,
billions.
Like, Fortnite is a cash cow. Say what you will.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? So, example, with these game launchers, right? Well, Amazon World, Amazon just make, like, Amazon, Facebook just try to do everything. And then, so Amazon has their own launcher now, or something like that. Like, they've been giving, you know, they entice you with free games. Like, join our launcher. Kind of like Stadia. Stadia gave out new controllers, if you were part of the premium subscribers or whatever a while back. So, so I just got mine or whatever. But they're just kind of like, oh, here's some free games. Like, join our services. And then, but like, for example, yesterday, I was on Steam, right? You know, like, one of the OG game launchers that pretty much everyone has. On PC, for the most part. I was just trying to play, like, an EA game, right? And then you hit play on Steam, and it's, like, opening up Origin. Like, why put it on the Steam store if you're just gonna open... If you're just gonna have it link, like, the play button from Steam just link to the Origin window?
I want to talk about... Okay, so... You remember when consoles had exclusives? Like, when that was a thing? To be very clear, I know the PS5 has some exclusives, but those companies are owned by Microsoft now, so how long they stay exclusive, you know, hedge your bets. But we're in the point now where game launchers have exclusives, and the PC market is now fractured where one launcher has one exclusive, one launcher has another exclusive, another launcher has another exclusive. We're basically, PCs are becoming consoles now, and consoles are becoming PCs. We're flipping the script.
You know, every decade we need to try something new, you know? Gotta keep it fresh on them.
It's okay, we got new silicon where everything is gonna be... Think of...
Epic Games makes their own Fortnite silicon.
Roblox has its own silicon, too. We're just gonna double down.
It's chug... What was it? Chug-jug-powered.
Chug-powered. I mean, blue. So what does this really mean? I mean, going back to the original topic... This means that smaller developers will get to keep more profits on the App Store, which is awesome. So, Apple Store, at the app, it's sort of a win for small developers. Epic was not happy about it. And you know, Robert, do you know why Epic Games wasn't happy about it?
Money.
They make over $1 million, as we said. They don't qualify. They still get the 30% cut. Now, there was two ways that Apple was going to do this. They took the way that I think most people weren't expecting them to go, because they could have either said, we're going to charge 30% to smaller developers since they're worth less money, and then 15% to larger companies since they make us more in the first place, and, you know, that's a lot of money anyways, 15%. Or they go this route and they say, we're going to charge smaller developers 15%, and then we'll just charge larger developers 30%. It's an interesting path to take, and I'll be entirely fair. The statistics have shown that these larger companies, I think it's something like 2% of the App Store companies that make over $1 million, also make up like all of the revenue on the App Store. And then all these smaller developers they're now charging 15% to don't really make much in the first place to actually matter in the grand scheme of things. Not that they don't matter, but to Apple, they kind of don't matter if they lose a little bit of money there.
Definitely power to the little guys. That's really, that's
really so good. It's really weird. And all throughout this, I want to remember a thing though. Google has said nothing in this whole thing. They haven't moved, they haven't said, they're just kind of letting Apple blunt the force of this, and then they kind of, I guess, pick up the pieces afterwards and use what works. It's really weird. I don't know, like, Robert, you have, I don't know, you're not a developer. I know Louie's more of a developer than either of us are. I mean, what are your thoughts on this 15% cut versus the 30% and the fact Google's not saying anything about it?
I think definitely, you know, it's the better of the two options. It gives, you know, to the, like, people are trying to get into the market, right? There's these people, you know, Epic Games, I mean, that's just on the phone, right? They already have their own launch. They already have their own, like, tons of money and stuff. And then Spotify, I mean, Spotify's on everything, so... I mean, yeah, of course, a lot of it might come, I don't know the exact percentages from Spotify or from like Apple products or whatnot. But then I was looking at Google Play, that charges 30% as well. So I was just trying to see, like, is it just an Apple thing, or is, you know, is it pretty standard across both markets? And it seems like Google Play has a 30% as well. So, I mean, it's a better route to take. I mean, it's kind of like the thing is just like taxing the big guys and then giving money to like the smart people or whatnot. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing the effects of what Epic is doing here. And I mean, 30% has been the industry today, even on PC before Epic Games Launcher came around. I believe Steam charged a 30% fee to game developers. So they only changed that after Epic Games came around, and I think they charge, was it 11% on their launcher? Something like that. Steam? Epic Games.
Okay, Steam charges 5%. So they charge 5% now. And then Epic Games.
Yeah, because I know they started really low. I don't know if...
Oh, what the hell? Oh. 12%?
Wow. That sounds about right, yeah. They were charging... I know they were charging lower than Steam was, because Steam used to be charging 30%.
Yeah, I thought Steam was... That was the whole point of going to Epic, because Epic was cheaper than... The Steam lowered?
I know they've definitely been feeling pressure from Epic Games, so... I mean, that's a crazy amount to drop, though, down to 5%.
Oh, 30%. What's that? I don't know where the 5% came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30%. That sounds...
Yeah, so it seems like 30 is kind of the standard right now. Nobody really talks about it, but consoles, I believe, are also 30% fees to be on their stores. Like the Xbox store and then the PlayStation store. I believe they also charge 30% as well. So... It's kind of weird. I guess maybe the industry standard may change now from 30%, maybe down to 15% with Apple sort of giving way a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
better for the, but as you said, I agree. Better for smaller developers who may not make nearly as much as a Spotify or Amazon or any of those larger companies, which also, some of them also get 15%. Discounts as well. I don't know if anyone talked about that. Amazon in particular gets a 15% cut instead of a 30%.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Perfect. You know, Jeff Bezos needs more money. He needs to build his new nation.
The Amazon nation. All right.
Where everyone's named Alexa.
All right. And with that, guys, we'll go ahead and we're going to take a break and we'll be right back to talk about our favorite game company, Nintendo. All right, and we are back. So, Nintendo.
Yes.
All right.
Classic.
Nintendo is one of those companies, I feel like when it comes to the news, it's because either A, they've released a new console that everyone loves, EX the Switch, or B, they're enforcing crazy... Maybe a little stringent copyright things. I mean, okay, let me put this in context. There was a point you literally just couldn't post Nintendo games on YouTube or Twitch because Nintendo would copyright strike you as soon as they saw it, like without mercy. And they would give you a strike. It wasn't like a normal like claim where they just take their own, they would strike your channel. They had no problem doing that at all. So Nintendo just shut down a massive Smash tournament that happens. This is like a yearly thing, right, Robert?
Yeah. So it's part of the yearly kind of up to. Well, I guess you could view Evo as the big one, and then there's a bunch of smaller ones. But this one's pretty. It's called Big House, so it's pretty in its name. I mean, it's pretty big up there with some of the big ones in the Smash scene.
Yeah, and they shut it right down, and it's. You're going to hear the reason it's going to be interesting. So as you know, with the pandemic, obviously they can't do this tournament in person. So they were kind of like, okay, well, let's set it up online and we'll do online play and all that. So there was a version of, I think this was it Melee?
Yeah. So the main thing about it, so there's a thing called Slippy, which, so in the past, you know, tournaments was in person, so it wasn't a big deal, right? And you would just go to locals and then locals and you could go to bigger events, and, you know, before this whole pandemic. So when this pandemic hit, you could play, mainly Melee, was harder to play online. I mean, you had Switch, right? So like the new game, like Ultimate and whatnot, you know, you could play that Nintendo online, even though, you know, their internet is still, they're still having bad online services. So they're still, you know, because it's a fighting game, you need to be like frame specific, in your combos, and having a bad, even like a couple like couple seconds off. I mean, even like a couple milliseconds off, like it could affect the gameplay or whatever. Especially with melee, because it's very precise on the exact frame. And so the thing, so in the past they used like emulators with like a thing called Dolphin, and they did they went and used the emulators to play with each other, and then this thing called Slippy came out, which basically reduced that latency basically down to zero. So it's like you're playing with you know, on a GameCube, on a CRT, whatever. And it was huge. Slippy could do like a bunch of stuff. Not only can it allow players to play with each other online with that zero latency, but also you could see it could record top matches from the top players, and allows you to like play against these top players, kind of like a CPU, but it's like it has a skill set of those top players. So that's like, it was a huge thing in the Melee community when it came out, especially during when this pandemic hit. So they've been doing that, and then all the way up to now, just like with Nintendo. And this also affected Ultimate online, because Big House, you know they not only do like Melee, but they also do like Ultimate. Ultimate's a new one, so, but it has been dying in popularity. It's like Melee has like always been, you know, Melee, and they've been pretty strong throughout the years. I mean, the game's like 2004, so it's like 16 years old.
I think it might be older than that, actually. Which, it's crazy that Nintendo is still to this day still enforcing the copyright so strictly on a game that they don't even sell anymore. Like, they haven't sold this game in decades.
Yeah, no remaster, nothing. It's just,
yeah, they just,
yeah.
Even though it's probably, I don't know if it's their most famous Smash game. I would say it's by far the most practiced one, tournament-wise.
Melee?
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty, I mean, well, then you get into people's opinions, and here we go. We're going to get everyone mad at us now.
Oh boy.
But like, whenever you go into the scene, there are always like the Melee people, and then there's everyone else. Or, I mean, there's also like Project M. I mean, there's five Smash games, but what happens, you have two normally, so like after Melee came out, you normally have two groups. You have the current Smash game and then Melee, and then there's really nothing in between. Like, you know, Smash 4, you know, it's pretty much dead right now. Brawl, there's Project M, and then you have Melee, and then Smash 64, I mean, that's just, it's barely anything. So really you have Melee, and then you have whatever the newest game. That's cool. So,
yeah, and it looks like Nintendo is just basically putting the hammer down on a Big House here. Like, they're just not giving any. They sent a cease and desist. They said, nope, we're not even gonna do this. Like, it's so weird to me, because as you said, a lot of these games just end up dead after a little bit, and rather than let, you know, Big House tournaments and even Evo back in the day, they actually went after Evo for something in 2013. Similarly. That's, it's so weird that instead of taking that, oh, I would say free publicity, because, you know, Nintendo is the only company that can make a Smash game. There's not a single other company on this planet that can make a Smash game at the same level, I should say. I guess there are fighting games that have characters.
PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, I remember that one. But the only successful one is the Nintendo Smash one. And that's for good reason. Nintendo's done well with it, but they just, their copyright team is just pen on paper all the time.
Yeah, they're really strict. They basically, one of the main players, well, you know, a lot of the top Melee players, you know, definitely went and talked about this, and well, one of the guys, Hungrybox, said like, it's either Melee dies or COVID dies. So at this point, it's like, it's such a big hit in the core, because what else are we gonna do? We can't be in person. Like, what else?
Yeah.
And then especially with what happened to the community over the summer, like, there's a big hit into the community, like, the community's, like, really hit, and they're, like, bleeding out right now. And then Nintendo just comes in, like, oh, yeah, you're dead.
maybe Nintendo doesn't care. Maybe, because keep in mind, Nintendo in particular, when anybody uses any of their stuff, whether it be Pokemon, whether it be Mario, whether it be what any of their other iconic characters, they're the first to say, this is how you can use it, and if you don't use it this way, we're gonna put the hammer. I mean, if I remember correctly, a few weeks back there was a Twitch streamer who was sort of Pokemon based. Like, they had a lot of merch based around Pokemon, and Nintendo basically was like, nope, it's too similar, get rid of it, and you have to change your name too, because I think their Twitch name was something like Pokey something, and they were just not having it. They're crazy about that. Is there a single other company out there, like game company, that is this strict about their IPs?
I don't know. Everyone else does what Nintendo don't. That's basically what it is.
It's Nintendo don'ts. Just don't even try. I actually remember one of my favorite things back in the day. There was when Smosh, the YouTube channel, published their Pokemon, when they sing along with the Pokemon song video. Nintendo just put the hammer on that video and got rid of it. It was gone. And a few years later, they made a whole video about how Nintendo put the hammer on that old video back in like 2007.
Yeah, a lot of game players, like I remember, like Game Grumps and a lot of those guys, like had huge problems with Nintendo back in the day on YouTube. Yeah, they just, I'm surprised, like, I thought with the Switch, they finally, like, they're starting to, like, you know, listen to the community, because the Switch came out, everyone's like, damn. And what after the next, like, game-wise, like, it's been, like, straight, like, they've been killing it. And, like, you know, Nintendo, you know, with the Wii U, it bombed so much, and, like, they really came back from that. And then now just, like, it's out of the blue, too, just, like, like, it's such a small game, like, what, like, it's, like, I don't even know how many people watch Big House, but, like, nowhere near in the millions, right? It's such a small, considered to, like, you know, a million amount of people, or, like, to Evo or whatever, it's, like, you're just affecting a small group of people. You're just killing their fun.
So, I mean, I was going to say, like, we were talking about a few weeks back, we had a Alex Hutchinson say something about game streaming and how streamers should pay game developers for a license and all that sort of thing, and how sort of a bad tone it was setting. It's weird to me, Nintendo, for all intents and purposes, sort of does that. And unlike, if Microsoft, for example, said, oh, you know, for playing Fallout, for example, and posting it on YouTube, you have to pay us a royalty fee, or, you know, we're going to put the hammer on you, or if you use anything for Fallout, we're just going to put the hammer on you. The outcry against Microsoft would be crazy. When Nintendo does it, though, you know, people kind of just say, okay, that's fine. Like, it's almost weirdly compliant in a way. And a lot of people complain. You said a lot of the bigger players, the one you brought up, Hungrybox, for example, complains about it. But they're sort of the minority voice, which is so strange to me.
But... yeah. Like, you know, people roast Sony, Microsoft all the time. I mean, Apple. You know, there's, like, all these tech companies have some group of haters. But, I mean, I like Nintendo. Don't attack us, please. Pretty much, you know, there's really, you know, there's no one critical. Well, there's only a few people that are critical of Nintendo that I've seen. And not that there should, you know, if they're, you know, they make a lot of good stuff. I definitely love Nintendo. They're definitely up there. Like, I know it's almost kind of like Apple in terms of just the video game market. And it's like, you know, you're getting quality, really. Or, yeah. Because, you know, Apple, you know, as much as everyone hates Apple, they do make some innovating features that, like, the market follows in a way. But, I mean, it's not a good... because Nintendo always follows behind the market. Okay, maybe that's not a good comparison, but hopefully you get my idea.
So, like, yeah, no, I get where you're going with it. Like, when Apple and Nintendo do things, a lot of the times, they sort of do things that are almost weird. Like, okay, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Apple isn't innovative. Keep in mind, whatever Apple does, everyone else tends to fall through with. A good example, they killed the headphone jack, and I know a lot of people don't like that, and they say it's dumb they killed the headphone jack. I'd also like to point out the headphone jack is an adapter that is 40 years old, though. Going on 50 probably soon, if I remember correctly. It's an old adapter, and it's one that you could argue is a little bit archaic. As much as I like the headphone jack, and I like using headphones with it, it is a little bit archaic. And for it to exist on a device that is supposed to be futuristic, I got the reasoning. Everyone hated it at the time, and then said, oh, well, everyone else didn't kill it. And then we're here in 2020 now. How many years after they killed it? Was it back in 2015? So 5 years after they killed the headphone jack. I don't know a single company. I think LG is one of the few companies that still has a headphone jack on their phones.
Well, LG was also the last people with like the battery. They could take the battery out too.
They're always slow to that. And on the recent LG Wing that Patrick and I ranted on a few podcasts ago,
dude,
no headphone jack, it's gone. It's gone. And Nintendo sort of does the same thing where, I mean, the Switch is an amazing product and neither Microsoft or Sony is following through with it, yet the Switch is the highest selling console of October. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo just does this and they do it very well. And they, and like Apple, because Apple does the same thing. Apple, if you, let's say, for example, get a hold of a developer kit or something early that you're not supposed to have, Apple's one of the first companies to slam you. They have no problem ripping you apart. Like Google and Microsoft, what they do is they just, once somebody reveals their whole product, they just send it out into the world.
Oh, wait.
They don't care. Apple will put the hammer on you if you do anything like that. And Nintendo does the same thing. And both companies have people that are vicious fanboys and vicious haters. It's weird.
I would also, yeah. But the Nintendo majority, I say, likes Nintendo for the most part. It's just the actions that they take is not in the right mind. There's a lot of it, or half of it. It's very, you know, hit or miss. Their games are always good. You know, we'll see. You know, hopefully they don't add microtransactions or some shit. But
yeah, you're right, though. It's weird. Like, people hate Apple. I don't know anybody that actually hates Nintendo, though.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo was kind of a darling for some reason, even though they pull a lot of the same stuff that Apple does and everybody else does. And they kind of just, everyone sort of just shrugs at it, which is, it's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, maybe it just, kind of like I said, they're kind of like synonymous with game, like video games entirely. Like, you think video games, first thing is like Mario for a lot of people.
No, definitely.
It might be Fortnite now, eventually.
The Fortnite floss dance is now the new iconic game.
Oh my gosh. The one that got sued over.
Goodness.
Yeah, it was also like that. And I was also seeing, like, you know, well, I mean, there was like Mario, and then people were saying, like, Steve and Minecraft's kind of like the next icon of video games.
Is Steve that iconic, though? I mean, I know he's big, but most people don't even use the skin. Like, is he that iconic? Like, Mario's iconic.
What? So when they released him in Smash, like, Steve in Smash.
Right. I forgot about that.
They were talking... Since we're talking about Smash here, when they released Steve in Smash, they're like, why is he... like, why do they keep it as design? And just, like, that design is just so simple, but it's iconic. And it... Yeah. It's just one of those.
It's so funny to me that Steve is being compared to Mario now. We live in that world. Okay. It's
a number one game.
True.
Of all time.
It's very true. I mean,
so,
does anyone else, you know what's funny to me? People talk about, like, oh, Fortnite being the biggest game in the world. I don't think people realize, if you actually break down the numbers for how many people have bought Minecraft versus Fortnite and even, like, Apex Legends and let's throw in PUBG in there, combined, those three games don't even equal the amount of copies that Minecraft has sold in its lifetime. Combined.
Yeah, that's hard. Well, okay, because, you know, Minecraft's been out for 10 years, so we give a couple more years, but because Fortnite is free to play, so it's hard to keep track of,
well, copies,
you know,
right.
Purchases.
But even just players playing it, Minecraft is far surpassed either of those games, and nobody talks about Minecraft being as big as it is, even though it's massive as a community.
Yeah. Well, I had this time, you know, like, 2013, 2014, I was just like, oh, Minecraft's for kids, or, like, Minecraft's a kid's game. And then, you know, that was only, like, time people were, like, looking down on Minecraft. And then, you know, Minecraft kind of died, and now it came back. And now it's just kind of, like, it's almost like it's, like, in the background. Like, no one talks about it, really, but, like, everyone just
I don't even know how to describe it. It's a train. You don't think about it, but it moves forward, and it has got a lot of cars attached to it.
Yeah. And now, we could be biased, because let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know. Are you playing Minecraft? Are you playing Roblox? Are you playing Fortnite? I remember in one of the first episodes... One of the first episodes we recorded on the podcast, I remember it was Louie and I actually ranting on Fortnite. insane how it was sort of like the Minecraft of the new generation, where it's that, as you said, like that annoying, like, oh, it's just for kids game. And then Fortnite blew up and now it's one of the biggest games on the planet. Which is, it's just crazy.
Whoa, will we have a Fortnite renaissance in like 10 years?
Fortnite renaissance? I don't know. Honestly, I feel like Battle Royales are sort of running their time though.
I mean, we all know Minecraft invented the Battle Royale for the trilogy's Hunger though. Games. I'm just saying. Everyone
actually, though, you know, that is a good point, because Fortnite and all that are like Hunger Games, and Minecraft had Hunger Games, and you went in and you collected items to feed everyone else.
Dude, Fortnite is just a Minecraft mod for Hunger Games.
And you can build stuff, too. It's exactly the same.
All right, Minecraft is
Number one in terms of game. I mean, Minecraft is so big. Like, I don't even. I, you know what? It's changed so much too. But we're talking a lot about Minecraft. This subject started with Smash.
Dude, it's even a benchmark.
Ray tracing.
Like, remember when, like, oh, can it run Crysis? Well, it's like, oh, can it run Minecraft RTX?
You gotta check your ray tracing lights. Make sure everything looks nice and pretty and lit up. It's the Minecraft.
Like, there is no need. It's like, there's no need for Minecraft 2, because just, like, they keep updating it. But, like, the updates. So, like, you think, look at modern games, you have seasons, right? But then Minecraft, like, you can just play any version, really. I mean, you could, like, downgrade, right? It's easy to mod. It's easy to downgrade, right? There's so much to do with it.
Nintendo killed modding for all their Smash games, and their Smash games didn't continue after they stopped supporting them. Minecraft said all the mods are allowed, and you can do whatever you want, and then the game is now one of the most popular in the world. Like, what does that say? Nintendo, you need to follow Minecraft, is what we're saying.
It all relates to Minecraft.
Minecraft was the original game, and the only game is just Minecraft with ray tracing.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Minecraft podcast.
All right,
today we're talking about version 1.3.
And you know what? With that, we're gonna end the podcast. We're gonna end. Minecraft is the original and only game. Everything relates back to it, and we'll see you guys next week.
Oh. They should become, you know, if Roblox becomes public, Minecraft should become public. I want to invest in Minecraft. I don't want to invest in Roblox. Why isn't there a Minecraft, like, launcher? Or, like a service? You know, everyone else is doing service.
You're talking about realms. You're just talking about realms. Nobody uses realms.
Which is made by users.
All right. With that, we're going to end the podcast before Minecraft just takes over the whole podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And Minecraft. We don't have a Minecraft server.
And join our Minecraft server. We should start one. Artificial.
Is that our next project? Is just a Minecraft server we bring people to? All right, expect that. We're going to make a Minecraft server. Expect that in the coming weeks. We'll post about it. Follow us on YouTube, too. We got some videos there. And we will see you guys next week.